hope you recognize that theme song. I hope it's becoming familiar to you if you're a return listener. It indicates that it's time for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus with your pastor, evangelist, Robert Venable. Amen. And we're excited about this broadcast today. All of you in Madison and North Florida, we're glad that you have rejoined us for this broadcast. You've been listening to good gospel music, and now we're going to bring you the good gospel without which none of these songs would be meaningful. We couldn't sing any of them today had not Christ come, died on the cross, paid the price for our sin, and sent preachers to tell us about the great love that God has for us and the great plan that He has to save us. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we're part of that outreach that the Lord is promoting in every generation, that none perish, but all might have eternal life. And everyone is not going to heaven, but God wants everyone in heaven. Make no mistake about it today. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, God is deeply in love with you, and He wants to save you, forgive you, and be reconciled to you. And He's made a way for that to be possible, and we want you to hear about it today. So please don't turn that dial now. Praise God. Hang on just a little while longer here. We're going to bring some good things from God's Word. Now, I'm going to say this to you that are Christians today, amen, that we're living in the last of the last days. And the Bible said in the last days perilous times would come. And then there's a whole litany of things that men would become as the world moves deeper into the darkness and farther from the light. Covetous, boasters, proud, fierce, idolaters, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. It just goes on incontinent. It goes on and on and on. But all of these conditions, scholars tell us, have a connotation of people living in this time. As Christians, it would have the connotation that it reduces the strength. It causes a vexation of the spirit and a weariness. And God wants to address that to help us to not just survive these times, but to live in victory through them until the very day that Jesus comes. And there are holy incentives in the Word of God for that victory. And today we're going to talk about God's promise to the overcomer using the seven churches of the book of Asia as our source of encouragement as Jesus Christ makes personal, precise promises to those who overcome. Hallelujah. Amen. He not only stands with us to give us the victory, but He gives us an incentive to look to Him for it. So we want to talk about that in just a few moments. We do want to invite you, however, to our website. If you're listening by computer, as this broadcast goes over the World Wide Web, we invite you to come to our website. There is a podcast now available to you to download to MP3 players or iPods if you so choose, recent editions of Let's Talk About Jesus series, and also sermons down through the years. I've been pastor of the Holy Church of God here in Tampa, Florida for 37 years in January. There's a lot of sermons, a lot of information, inspiration that God has given us in these live services, and you're welcome to come and download any of this material to be edified and instructed from the Word of God. And we're glad that so many are coming from all over the world and all over the United States. I'm going to read you a few of the hits that we've had on our website recently from St. Petersburg, Florida, Gloucester, Vermont, Ghana, Marrero, Louisiana, the Czech Republic, Oslo, Norway, Japan, Singapore, Nairobi, Kenya, Africa, Uttar Pradesh, India, St. Louis, Missouri, Roswell, Georgia, New Brunswick, New Jersey, Arkadelphia, Arkansas, Kali, Texas, Trinidad. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. The United Kingdom, different places in England, Devon, and we're Tokyo, Japan. Hallelujah. Niagara Falls, New York. It just goes on, and more are coming. And we're so grateful to be part of something that God is doing. And we're glad that you are with us today. praise the Lord, wherever you are, however you're hearing this broadcast. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me on the subject, God's promise to the overcomer, to 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. It says, "Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" I want to try just for a moment to define what world means. It doesn't mean the earth. When God created the earth, before sin entered, before the curse came, he called it good. Everything in it was good. And the only thing that wasn't good is because Adam was alone and he became lonely. And so he made a helpmeet for him in Eve. But when he created the earth, before the fall, before the curse, he said, "It's good." Praise God. No death, no anxiety, no stress, no brokenheartedness, no divorce, no separation. It was good. No broken fellowship with God. And it was good. Praise God. But when the curse came, the world became, as we know it, not the earth, but the world, as we know it, became influenced by a fallen angel called the God of this world, or this system, this spiritual system that influences fallen man. That's what it's talking about. And in this system called the world, there is an appeal to our flesh, but through persecution and through temptation to sin. There is an appeal to our flesh to sin against God, to do wrong and to do evil. And this system is run by an entity called the devil. So in essence, when we overcome the world system, we overcome the devil. And in order to overcome the world and the devil, we must overcome the flesh. We are human beings. We have weaknesses and tendencies, and God addresses that in his word. When we trust Christ as our Savior, we are given access to everything we need to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. This is supernatural things that we have to contend with, not just natural. And God gives us supernatural grace and strength to overcome. I want to read this to you to set a context for our study out of St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, and verse 13 through 19. It said, "When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Who do men say that the Son of Man am?' And they said, 'Some say thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias or Elijah, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets.' And he said unto them, 'But whom say ye that I am?' And Simon Peter answered and said," and I love the way he said this, because he didn't say it as if he was trying to figure it out, or it was somehow vague and he's going to speculate. But he spoke distinctly, "Thou art the Christ," without skipping a beat. "Thou art the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." I want to stop there a minute and let you know, I came to Christ in church. I heard a preacher preach, but the Bible is telling me here, when I trusted Christ, there was more involved than a minister appealing to my intellect and me giving a mental consent or assent to what he was saying. Amen. The Father reveals his Son to us. So without hesitation or speculation, when someone asks us, "Who is Jesus?" we say, "He's the Christ." He's the Son of the living God. And it is a spiritually brought revelation. And Jesus went on to say, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," and I'm going to stop here again and tell you, it's not Peter, amen, because Peter had failings. Peter shook after that. Peter's not the rock that the church is built on. The revelation that is given to us from God, that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, that is the rock upon which the church is built upon. upon this rock, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell, representative of all the forces, powers, and principalities arrayed against us, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know, the gates of a city is what made that city such a stronghold. If it wasn't for those gates, those cities could be easily taken and defeated. And the gates of hell represents all of the powers of darkness against the church, and listen, against the non-Christian. The devil is not your ally today. He's not your friend. He's your enemy. His intent is to damn your soul and destroy you. But God's intent is to save you and deliver you today. And if you choose to look to the Lord for your deliverance and your help today, I want to tell you, by the authority of God's Word from Christ Himself, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ, which you can become a part of if you choose to receive Jesus this very day. He went on to tell Peter, and I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind upon the earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose upon the earth shall be loosed in heaven. You will have spiritual authority, and the gates of hell will not prevail and overcome you. Who is this that overcomes the world, 1 John says, but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. That means that every true, authentic Christian today has been given the position as an overcomer, the privilege and power to overcome today. Now, we want to give you the incentive to overcome from the Word of God, that you will seek the Lord and utilize spiritual resources to stand and overcome even in this day, this last day. The overcomer, friend, will be given eternal life and eternal blessings. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7 says, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. To this church of Ephesus, he says, to him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. He's promising them eternal life. This is suggestive of an eternal existence comparable to the Garden of Eden before the fall. No death, no sin, no heartache, nothing but the eternal blessings of God. Adam lost both eternal and external blessings when he sinned. But the Bible said that God put in place when Adam sinned, he put in place a salvation plan that was in his heart and mind in the event that man would abuse his free will and make the wrong choices. God had a safety net, amen, ready to put in place. And it is a great plan of salvation, that we might be able to defeat the enemy, defeat the curse, and be reconciled, redeemed, and restored. What happened when Adam sinned is clearly delineated in Genesis 3:23-24. It said, therefore the Lord God sent him forth. He couldn't abide him in his presence after that sin and the curse came. He sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So when he drove out the man and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned in every way to keep the way of the tree of life, literally to the tree of life, Adam could not go back and eat of the tree of life. But to him that overcometh will I give, this is the promise, to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Listen, friend, through obeying the gospel, receiving Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are granted life eternal. That which was lost because of sin is now restored through salvation. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 14 said, blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Praise God. Amen. I am so glad today not to just be a preacher, but to be a Christian who has found forgiveness for my sin and the promise of life eternal. To escape hell and its punishment and banishment from God, and to receive, amen, the restored blessings that Adam lost through the fall. Praise God. I'm going to get to eat of that tree that Adam wasn't able to eat of at that time. I'm going to get to live forever in a body that'll never be sick or age. And I'll have an environment where I will never know the heartache or the heartbreak of losing a loved one. Oh, praise God. What God promises of us as children, His covenant children, makes me want to run with patience the race that is set before me. You know, the Bible said that we should not be weary in well-doing, for we will reap the reward if we faint not. But I believe if we're all honest, preacher and church member alike, as Christians, we've all felt that terrible sense of weakness and weariness set in from time to time. You know, the way Paul defeated that with all the persecutions that he was having to endure, he said, and you can see where his focus was and how it changed the way he saw the temporary problems and pressures and heartaches and heartbreaks of living in a faulty body in a fallen world. Even as a Christian, he felt these waves come over him. But I'm going to tell you, he put his focus on things above. And he said, I suppose the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared to the glory that is going to be revealed unto us on that day. There is a day when I'm going to stand before my King in a body that will never age or be sick or perish, in a place called paradise, heaven. You can name it all those different names. It's a place He's prepared for us, that where He is, we may be also. And He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And that place that He's prepared up there is going to come down here, and we're going to live forever with Him in a world that He intended from day one. And we're going to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God, and we're going to live forever. Praise the Lord. Amen. This is not fantasy. This is not something that we just use as a panacea, because we can't accept and deal with the fact that when we're dead, we're done. Friend, when we're dead, we're not done as Christians. It's just beginning. I'm going to quote the great Christian scientist, Dr. Michael Faraday. When he was dying, some journalists questioned him about his speculations about life after death. He replied, "Speculations? I know nothing of speculations. I am resting on certainties. I know my Redeemer lives, and because He lives, I shall live also." Today, I've got some good news for you. It seems like we're the minority and overwhelmed by the thinkers of the world and called foolish for believing that the Bible is the inerrant Word of God and buying into that old creation stuff, that God actually created the universe. I saw something on the internet on the news page the other day that you go to begin your news search, and it said that God wasn't necessary to create the universe. And I thought, oh, how haughty we become when we become so intellectual and scientific and analytical that there is no room for faith and no room for the supernatural. I want you to know the church is built on a rock of a supernatural revelation of who Jesus is, and we know He's the Son of God. We know something else for certainty, that at the last day He's going to stand upon the earth, and we're going to stand with Him when that happens. Whether we have died previously or not, Job said, "In my flesh, I'm going to see the Lord." Hallelujah. We have eternal life as a holy promise and incentive to never look back like Lot's wife, but to look forward. That's what Paul said, forgetting the things that are behind. You know some of the things he had to forget? Amen. He had to forget being beaten with rods on 3 occasions. He had to forget being stoned and left for dead. He had to forget these persecution that came because God was using him so mightily that he was given 39 stripes, save one. 40 stripes, save one. 39 stripes on 5 occasions. In peril of his life, and hungered and naked, shipwrecked 3 times in the deep for a day and a night. The heartache and heartbreak in all of these external things of being among false brethren. And yet Paul said, am I going to complain? He said, nay, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Not only did God give him grace sufficient to bear up under these great persecutions, but God gave him a holy incentive to look beyond this temporal world and look past it. And he said, I suppose these sufferings, you could see his vantage point was spiritual and eternal. He said, I suppose these sufferings, which are but for a moment, are working for us a great eternal weight in glory. And that the sufferings that we're going through now are not worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed to us on that day. And that day is when he stands and we stand with him. And we enter in to the joys of the Lord forever. Praise God. John 10:27-28, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And in 1 John 5:11, and said, this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. These things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. Praise God. That's why the great scientist Sir Michael Faraday said, speculations, I know nothing of speculations. I'm resting on certainties. It's this kind. I told someone the other day, I love the way God talks in his word. He's not vague. He doesn't deal with speculation. He's not mealy-mouthed. He says it so plainly, so clearly, so forcefully, so authoritatively that we can place our faith on certainties instead of speculations. And the God that speaks to us says he watches over that word to perform it. He said not one jot or one tittle of his word is ever going to fail. Not one comma, not one period. Nothing is going to be unobserved and performed by God. Hallelujah. Everything he said, he's going to bring to pass just like he said it. And he said to him that overcometh, I'll give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And I take that to my heart today and say, this is a race worth running full out. This is a victory worth claiming with everything I have and everything that I am. This is a fight, friend, worth fighting to the victory and winning. And this is a prize worth contending for. God's promises to the overcomer make me want to keep on keeping on. And when I do experience weariness, as the scripture said, be not weary in well-doing. We would receive a word, we would receive a reward if we faint not. Praise God. And I can't say I've never been faint-hearted. I can't say I've never been weary. But I can say that every time I go to the Word of God, I find exceeding great precious promises that I might partake of the divine nature, having overcome this world and the flesh and the devil, overcoming the corruption that is in the world. Amen. They're given to us exceeding great and precious. precious promises, that by them we might partake of the divine nature, the Scripture says, and overcome the corruption that is in the world. Who is he that overcometh? He that believes that Jesus is the Son of God, and then stands upon the promises that God has given us. Paul said, forgetting the things that are behind, reaching forth to those things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. Friend of mine, you do have to press. We're upstream Christians in a downstream world. And the current of this world, if you don't press forward, if I don't press on, the current of this world, like the current in a river, a rushing river, you don't have to decide to go back or backslide or get discouraged or get so weary you just give up and throw in the towel. The current will take you back. But God's given us His Word, given us His solemn promise, amen, that if we will press on, He will help us to make it. Amen. He needs our will set to go forward, to never give up, never give in, never go back. He will give us the grace. He will give us the strength. In fact, all of heaven's resources will become ours. Supernatural armor, so that we can overcome a supernatural foe and walk in supernatural victory, is ours in Jesus Christ. Praise God. This is more important than anything in the world, anything beyond this world. This determines where we spend eternity. And God wants you to spend eternity with Him. If you don't know Jesus today as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you right now. There's no contest in your life if you live it to the end without coming to Jesus. There will be no battle with the flesh and spirit. You will be of your father the devil. His works you will do can cost you your family, cost you your reputation, cost you your life. It can cost you your soul, can cost you your job, your vocation. If you follow the enemy of your soul, his design is to destroy you. If you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, his design, his passionate desire is to save you, deliver you from the prison house of sin, and seal you with the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption, and take you through this world victoriously. And you won't live in defeat anymore. And I want to challenge you today that if you don't know Christ as your Savior, that right now, right where you are, that you will open your heart and that you will receive Him into your heart and into your life. He loves you today so very much. He desires so much to save you, seal you, keep you, take you home, give you access to the tree of life, that you might live forever with Him. Amen. Today, if you are a Christian, there's a challenge for us today to not look back, to not go back, to not give in, to not give up, to not compromise, but to stand, having done all, to stand. And not only to stand, but to go forward, to finish our course, to finish this race, to win the crown. There's a crown of life awaiting you and awaiting me. We love you today. I pray you'll come back next week, right here on WMAF, and let's talk about Jesus.
Just rolled away.